Thank you, worship team, for leading us into God's presence here this morning. Have you ever noticed how time really flies by these days? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just getting older. But when I was young, I couldn't wait to grow up. Time wasn't going by fast enough. And now that I've grown up, I'm hoping that time will slow down, and the year will go by slower. I don't know about you, but 2018 really flew by quickly for me. As I reflect on it, it was the year that I truly had the privilege and the honor, and I don't say this lightly, but with great humility, I had the privilege and honor to be installed as the senior pastor of this church, a church that I'd gone to since its beginning in 1991. A church that I've come to love as my spiritual home, my spiritual family, and all of you is such a big, big part of it. 2018 was the year that my son graduated from university with his second degree. And so I thought he would be moving out of the house, right? Do his residency somewhere else in Canada? Have his own place? But no, not yet. It looks like he may be with us for another few years, or should I say, we have the blessing of having him with us for another few years. Yeah, that sounds better, right? For a parent to say. Shame on me for even thinking that. 2018 was also the year that God gave Fraselands a new direction in ministry. If you're like me, not only does time fly by quickly, but it seems as if my memory for things flies by quickly as well. And I need a constant reminder of what took place from week to week, from month to month, and from year to year. So would you please allow me just for a minute just to remind us what our ministry plan, what our ministry direction is in our church as we enter 2019. In this season of Fraselands, we're excited that God is inviting us on a journey of learning. First, learning about two things. First is spiritual practices of church renewal, which includes things like personal renewal, intimacy with God, relational renewal, relationship with others, spiritual renewal, transformation by the Spirit. And as well, I believe that God is also leading us and calling us to practice being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods, by moving towards a deeper community and a more radical hospitality, by moving towards greater diversity and neighborhood engagement, and by moving towards justice for the least. And so as we look at these two aspects of our ministry plan and direction, spiritual practices of church renewal and being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods, these are essentially what we call in the Alliance things like deeper life in Christ, mission in the world, which the Bible refers to love our Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, I was very, very encouraged to hear some of the things that took place over Christmas as we learn to live incarnationally, as we learn to live missionally, to be a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods. I heard of a couple in our church who invited their two immediate neighbors next to them, living next to them, over for a meal over the Christmas season. They had a great opportunity to become better neighbors with them, to become better friends by simply sharing a meal together. That's it. Very simple. The husband even asked if they could join hands together and to give thanks before the meal, and they offered a prayer to God together. As well, I know some of you have been able to visit those in need, lonely people, grieving widows and women who live in our neighborhood. You go to visit them and you pray for them because you care, because you're being the living presence, the loving presence of Christ to them. And this is with people who have yet to know God personally. But this is what we're called to do as the people of God, to extend our hospitality, to extend our friendship, to extend our love, our care and concern, our compassion to others, and yes, even to strangers. This is how it all begins as we live out the mission of our church, to befriend, to belong, to believe, to become, and to be sent. And so with these things in mind, spiritual practices of a church renewal and being a loving presence of Christ in our neighborhoods, we will focus today on what it means to experience personal renewal, a greater intimacy with God. Do you long to have a more personal and intimate relationship with God? With the God who created you, the God who knit you together while you were still in your mother's womb, with the one who calls you his beloved son, his beloved daughter, with the one who, the Bible says, rejoices over you with singing. Do you long for this? As we begin this year, we'd like to offer an opportunity for you to do just that, to have greater intimacy with God. And this is enhanced through learning to hear God in our lives. But how do we do that? And what is hearing God anyways? Well, Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Jesus also said in John chapter 5, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." Now, if Jesus said this, the Son can do nothing by himself, he can do only what he sees his Father doing, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. If Jesus said that, how much more do we need to see and to hear God, his voice, and to recognize what he's doing among us and around us? You see, hearing God is listening to the heartbeat of God. It is listening intently to the whisper of God. It is people who hear his voice and who engage him in a very personal way. God wants to have a personal relationship with us, where we're hearing and listening, so that things in our lives, they don't just begin with a strategy or a great idea, but it begins with a relationship, with a dynamic presence of God in which he's speaking and we're listening. And we're expecting him to show up and to speak to us like the people that we read about in the Bible. You know, God spoke to his people in Scripture, and they were able to follow him as a result. Did you know that? God spoke to Noah, to Abraham, to Jacob, to Joseph, to Moses, to Joshua, to Hannah, to Samuel, to David, to Joseph and Mary, and to so many others in the New Testament. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Now let me ask you this. How's your spiritual life right now? Do you sense God's presence, his nearness? Are you serving out of exhaustion and burnout? Do you seem to be always battling, barely trying to serve God on your own strength? Or are you living and serving out of an overflow of the Spirit's presence and power in your life? Now, let me just get this straight. It's not about wow moments. It's not about wow moments where we're talking about mountaintop experiences only. But rather, it's about a consistent, growing relationship with the Lord, where you're relating to Him. You're hearing Him. And you're obeying and following Him. I want to just take this time to show you a video testimony of someone who was struggling with this, what we've just been talking about. But now he's hearing God. And he's been transformed by God. His life, his ministry, and even his church. Let's take a moment to watch this, will you?
Yeah, I think to make a long story short, in that season, my wife was in the process of dying. She had been diagnosed with terminal cancer many years ago, and she was quickly slipping on us. I was exhausted from about 10 years of that battle, that journey at that time. Our church was just in some tumultuous times, and I was feeling like, oh, I don't know how much longer I can hang on. I think this church deserves a younger pastor who has energy, and I wasn't feeling very young, and I wasn't feeling very energetic. One of the things that I was considering was, how would I orchestrate my exit from pastoral ministry, just simply because I was exhausted and didn't see any way that I could carry on with the load of ministry and having a reality at home that I faced. I went to Winnipeg for another event. As I was getting ready to leave Toronto, I remembered that there was, Steinbeck's not far from Winnipeg. I should check and see when that next church renewal weekend is. And sure enough, it was that weekend that I was going to be in Winnipeg when my flight was done, and got online and booked a hotel room and rented a car and changed my flights and ended up staying the extra day so that I could come down and take in the prayer summit there at Southland in the evening. In the midst of the prayer summit, Pastor Ray invited the visiting clergy to come and be prayed for. This group astounded me. They listened to God in prayer, and then they spoke into my life, and they breathed fresh wind into my sails. They renewed my hope for the church. I sat there and just dreamed that if a pastor could teach his church to live this way, then there's hope for the church in Canada. And maybe there's hope for my church. And so I drove away from Steinbeck that Sunday night late, and I had a conversation with God and just said, you know, Lord, if this is where you want us to head, if this hope that I've seen here is going to happen in our church, then you're going to need to work in me first. And I'm open to that. Okay, we're here to pray, right? So let's stand together. Let's enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. We'll start with praise and then we'll go to thanksgiving.
When I heard about the mentoring, I was a little bit hesitant. I was a little bit fearful of what that might entail. And I think what I was most fearful of was that I had to get over my own pride. That at 56 years of age, I had to admit the fact that I had never learned to listen to God as well as I might have. And bigger than that, as a result, I had never led my people in hearing God as they might. And that was a pretty big thing for me to face and to confess. I think one of the things that I'm starting to see that excites me is I'm starting to see our people as they learn to hear God in prayer. And they're actually hearing Him. And then they come and they tell me what God's saying. There's no greater exhilaration for me than to know that I've helped someone not rely on me, but tap in directly to the one whom I rely on. And so to help people find a way to just relate to God themselves and to hear His voice and to get direction and guidance and counsel, encouragement and comfort from the Holy Spirit and from the Word on their own without me, that's a That's a freeing thing for me. Then I don't have to carry that load of their lives. It makes it way easier to be a pastor when Jesus can carry their load. I brought a team, my staff and my elders and some of their spouses, out to a church renewal weekend about a year and a half later. And that team and I experienced the church renewal weekend. And since then, God has been renewing us as a team. He's been renewing us as a team. We're different than we were. We're listening to God in prayer. We're hearing Him speak to us. And we're moving with a confidence that we've heard God together as a staff and also together as a board. We move together now with a confidence that we're hearing God and that we're clear on what He wants us to do and the decisions we're thinking about and praying over. It's been 3 years last month since my first visit to the prayer summit. And as I said, at that time I was planning an exit strategy. And now I'm not planning an exit strategy. That doesn't exist anymore. I figure at 56 years of age, I got 10 or 15 years more tread left on these tires, and I'm going to just go all out as long as I can, as long as God enables me. The story on Pam has been an ever-evolving story. When she was diagnosed with multiple myeloma 12 and a half years ago, the average lifespan then was 3 to 5 years. We were informed 6 weeks ago that after 12 and a half years in this journey, Pam is in full remission. So we're grateful for that. And people have asked me before, what has church renewal done for our church? And my response is, it's not what it's done for the church, it's what church renewal has done for me. And God is renewing me. And He's doing that through church renewal. And I'm very grateful for that. Deeply thankful. And glad that now I'm starting to see God renewing my church because I humbled myself and allowed Him to renew me first.
The Lord God said in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. You see, the command of Scripture is to pray, is to confess, is to repent, and then to go and teach others to do the same. The sooner that we as a church learn how to hear God's voice, the sooner that Jesus will be the true head, the true leader, the true Lord of Fraserlands Church. I truly believe that. Otherwise, we're just leading ourselves. We need to learn to hear God, brothers and sisters. Whether you're a businessman or a businesswoman, whether you're a mother, a father, or even a child. I took this photo when we were at Southland Church and attending their prayer summit. And as I talked to you about this before, you know, they have about close to 1,800, 2,000 people that come out each month to pray as a church. And so these are some photos that were taken at one of these prayer summits during the month when they gather together. Now, what really touched me was not just the amount of people that came out to pray, but who came out to pray. 8-year-olds, 12-year-olds would come out with their families once a month to pray as a family for the church family and for what their church will do in the community and beyond. What they're doing here, they're not scribbling or drawing, ladies and gentlemen. It's their prayer journals. Their prayer journals. They're jotting down what they're hearing from God in prayer. Oh my goodness, when I saw that, my heart melted. Oh, how I long and we long as a church that our families, our young people would come and pray and listen to God. You see, hearing God is all about prayer. And we have to change, and we have to be transformed ourselves first by God. Like the New Testament church, we have to be a church that's built on prayer, with leaders who pray without ceasing. You may have noticed in your bulletin the names of several people who are nominated as elders for this coming 2 years. There's 5 names in your bulletin. As you prayerfully consider who your elders will be for next year, consider this. Are they men and women of prayer? Are they sensitive to the Spirit's leading? Do they love the body of Christ deeply as Christ loves and died for his church? Are they people who would be willing to follow and to obey the Lord because they have heard him in prayer? Use this as your criteria for choosing and nominating, for choosing and voting for your elders. What is God saying to you in prayer? How is he leading and guiding you? Now, we need to move with the confidence that we have heard God, and we base our decisions on his leading. Again, I want to use the example of Southland Church, the elders at Southland Church. And they had to make a decision on the budget for the next phase of construction. And so they prayed about it. They listened to God together. They heard God on their own. And then when they got together to meet at their board meeting, God had already spoken to each of them separately before they got together. And so it didn't take them long, just a couple hours, to pass their $18 million budget for their church expansion. Imagine that. Imagine a day when our church can learn to hear God in prayer such that people are going to Jesus first rather than going to the pastor. Imagine a day when new ministries are birthed out of prayer, because we're hearing and listening to the heartbeat of God, and it moves us to stand up for the injustices of our world, to be more compassionate to those who are in need, to loosen the chains of injustice that bind the oppressed, those who are trapped in prostitution, in addictions, and in all forms of modern slavery. Imagine a day, brothers and sisters, when everyone in Fraserlands Church is hearing God together. Oh, what the Lord could do with a church like that. Now, what are some reasons why some people don't hear God? I just want to list 15 reasons here. There could be others. Why believers can't seem to hear God's voice. As we go through them, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you which of these reasons may apply to your situation in life. I'll go through them here in detail. I will not go through them in detail here, but they're provided as part of the appendix in the workbook that you'll receive in the Hearing God seminar that's coming up. One of the reasons could be that some people actually don't want to hear God. Some people don't want to surrender to God until they first know what he wants. Unconfessed sin keeps us from hearing God. Some have never been taught how to hear God. Unbelief keeps us from hearing God. Fearing that it would lead to chaos in the church. Not desiring a friendship with God. Too busy to spend time listening to God. Talking instead of listening. Being impatient and rushing ahead. Fearing man rather than fearing God. Satan tries to keep us from hearing. Asking the wrong questions. Fear of confusing our thoughts with God's thoughts. And then lastly, listening for a loud voice rather than a quiet voice. This is by far the most common reason why people do not hear God speak. As a matter of fact, even believers who are experienced in hearing God's voice will every now and then have difficulty hearing his voice because of just this. They have not quieted themselves to hear God's voice. You see, we live in a world where there's so much noise, isn't there? All around us, we're bombarded by noise, by loud voices all the time, telling us what to do, telling us what we need, telling us how we should live. That we've become accustomed to it, the loud voices and the loud noises around us. Elijah was hiding in a cave on Mount Horeb when God told him to stand on the mountain because he was about to pass by. It says in 1 Kings, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You see, God seldom raises his voice. You know, although our world makes a lot of noise, God does not make himself heard in that way. Rather, he speaks in a whisper. And only those who are willing to become still will be able to hear God. There are many verses in Psalms that encourage us to be still and to be silent before God. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 62, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." But how do we become still so that we can hear God speaking to us? How do we quiet ourselves to hear God's voice? Well, I found that there's an acronym that Southland Church uses. It's the word STAR, S-T-A-R. This is a good and practical tool that helps us quiet ourselves in order to hear God. And let me just quickly go through this with you. So S stands for stop. Don't fix the problem, the person, or the situation. You see, when we're tired or overwhelmed, our ability to make good decisions, to think creatively, to connect relationally with others, and even with God, is drastically reduced. It's usually when we're tired that we function poorly, don't we? And we just simply need to stop in those moments. We need to realize that things can wait a few minutes. They can wait a few minutes or longer in order for us to connect first with God. Because when we insist on trying to fix the problems or the people right away, we'll most likely end up trying to control that person or to control the situation. And we will miss out on what God is trying to do in that particular situation. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 37, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. You see, we need to make sure that we're connected to Jesus first and to not make our decisions based on fear or on our frustrations. And to do this, we must, first of all, stop. Secondly, T, take a breather and calm down. In our society, being still, being quiet, it's not something that we like to do or that we value. We think being busy all the time is a sign of our worth. And so we have a tendency to burn out. For example, if I was to lift these weights, oh my goodness, okay. These are my sons. He's a little more buff than me. If I was to lift these weights, and these are 15-pound weights each, they wouldn't feel too heavy at first. We'd probably feel like we could do this all the time. Pray that I don't hurt myself. Now, what if I was to tie these weights to my hands, right? Tie them to my hands. After a while, these 15-pound weights would feel like they're 50 pounds or 100 pounds or maybe even 500 pounds after a while, and my arms would be so tired from the constant strain. So not only am I not getting stronger, I'm actually losing the strength that I had. And too many of us, we just do that. We do just that. We keep ourselves so busy that we miss out on times of rest, times of quietness before God. And we wonder why we feel so stressed, why we feel so burnt out. Okay, enough of these. Brothers and sisters, we're not made to function with a continual power supply. We're more like rechargeable batteries, and we need to rest. God rested on the seventh day and commanded his people to rest. Now, most of this rest will be in the form of sleep on a daily basis, but we're also to be still. We're also to calm down. We're also to quiet ourselves before God. The Lord said in Isaiah 30, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling. Rest, quietness, and trust shall be your strength. Psalm 131 says, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. You see, David understood the importance of calming and quieting his soul. And part of doing this is to have times set aside with the Lord where you can practice being still, meditate, and to soak in his word. As well, we can practice quieting by exercising self-control, by relaxing our bodies, and just by breathing deeply. These will make it easier to engage our hearts in this next step, A, appreciate and connect to Jesus. Once we've had a chance to stop and to calm down, we're ready for the best part, the best way to enter into God's presence through worship. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. When we focus on the Lord and the things that he has done for us and provided for us, we find our hearts in a different place as it begins to change. Now, we need to realize that just saying that we're thankful is not the same as actually feeling appreciation or gratitude for something. So when we stop and we calm down and we begin to focus on Jesus and what he's done, provided for us, we'll notice a difference. We'll notice a shift in our lives, especially as we focus on why the things that we're thankful for are meaningful to us. Why are these things meaningful to us? We'll find that our anxiety and our fear will start to go away. Our hearts will begin to warm up. Our minds will become clearer. And from this place of rest and quietness before the Lord and appreciating and worshiping him, from this place, our prayers and hearing God will flow that much easier. And as we're better to hear him and to receive his direction for our particular situation, it will lead us to this final step, R, respond. Respond in faith and love. Do the right thing and obey the direction that the Lord gives you. Once we've reconnected with God, received his heart and the direction for the situation that we're going through, we can then respond in faith. Not fear, but faith. And so we listen, we trust, and we obey God. Now, in some instances, it may mean that we forgive and we let go of the situation or the person who hurt us or the pain that they've caused. In some circumstances, we'll have to lovingly confront that individual. While yet in still others, we'll just have to choose to trust in God and to allow him to reveal things in time. Now, I've included in your sermon notes an exercise at the back here that you can do this week, which will help you to quiet yourself in order to hear God. I don't know where you are right now in regards to your intimacy with God, your ability to hear his voice, your desire to follow and to obey him. But I really want to encourage you to journey with us as a church as we learn to hear God together. Our Hearing God seminar starts February the 7th and goes for 6 weeks, 6 Thursdays at 7:30 p.m., and the registration deadline is today. So would you please prayerfully consider how you want to connect with God and to move with us as a church as we go in that direction of hearing God together. Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we come before you this morning. Lord, you know all that is going on in our lives, the things that we encounter, the issues that we're facing right now. You see our brokenness. You see that we are in need of healing emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And so, Father, with all that you know about us, I pray that we would not run away from you when we have all these issues in life, but instead, oh God, that we turn straight to you, our Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, and the Spirit of God has been given to us to lead us and to counsel us and to guide us into all the things that you will show us. So God, help us as a church to begin this process of hearing you, to learn how to better hear you, to distinguish your voice from the voices of this world. Lord, we are open to you to teach us. Cast away our pride, our anxiety, Cast away even our busy schedules that would get in the way so that we can come together, oh God, and commune with the God of the universe. God who calls us each day into your presence. But a God who desires to whisper his words of love over us. Oh God, we need you. Our families need you. Our church needs you. Humble us, oh God, that we will learn to do this together as a church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.